somebody get baptized this morning. My kids have been in the pool already. It is going to be a great time. I have been coming to this Northeast Campus Retreat since 2010. And it is awesome. I'm so grateful for our New England and New York, New Jersey friendship relationships of our churches and our campus ministries getting this time every year together. And Chelsea and I are definitely honored and grateful to get to speak God's word for you all this morning. So you're ready to hear the Bible a little bit?
Come on.
This morning, we're going to be looking at the next statement from Jesus in John 14. Three bold statements.
Right.
In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so this morning we're going to be talking about Jesus is the truth. Who in here has who's lied before?
Oh yeah.
Well, let's be honest, don't lie right now. Now raise your hand if you're raising it. You know, and I'm sure we could all get up and tell stories, some we'd be proud of and some we wouldn't. I was remembering as I was writing this a time in high school where I was in this one class and everybody had to put together this big project, and then there was a week where we spent the whole class period for a week presenting our project. We had to get up and present it. And I just straight up didn't do it.
All right,
I didn't even do the project. And it was like Thursday of presentations, and the teacher, you know, all the people who volunteered to go had already gone at this point, and I don't know what I'm thinking. But the teacher says, "Okay, Rob, it's why don't you go today?" And in this moment, I, as you know, well as I could, I said, "Oh, don't you remember I went earlier this week on Tuesday?" And just testing it out, you know? And she says, "Oh, that's right, I remember. You did a very good job, actually." And then I just rolled with it, and I got a B on this project. And honestly, I don't know if she just was delusional and forgot, whatever, or if she didn't want to be embarrassed and just lied right back. And didn't want to be like, "Oh, I forgot that she went," or whatever.
Right.
You know, but we could all look back. We've all lied before. You all just raise your hands, right? But here's the thing, too. Does anyone in here, raise your hand, does anyone in here like being lied to?
No.
No, right? Do any of you want to believe a lie?
No.
All right, so everyone in here's lied, and no one in here wants to believe a lie. What are we doing? You know, but you can raise your hand again if you want. Who wants to know what is true?
All right.
Who wants to know the truth? We all do, right? We know that truth is important and it's valuable. Truth is something certain.
Yeah.
Truth is something reliable, dependable, something real. Isn't that what we want?
Yes, it is.
And the Bible says Jesus is the truth.
Come on.
And what I see is that our world, and most all of our world and modern Christianity, is lacking truth. We're unsure, well, what's real? What do I believe? What's right? What can I rely on? What can I be certain of? And the Bible is so helpful and relatable. In Isaiah chapter 59, is a passage on society 2,600 years ago.
Mercy.
And not much has changed from what Isaiah was seeing then. Listen to Isaiah 59. It says, "We look for light, but all is darkness.
Wow.
For brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. Like the blind, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like people without eyes." Verse 14, "So justice is driven back, and righteousness stands at a distance. Truth has stumbled in the streets. Honesty cannot enter."
Wow.
"Truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey."
Wow.
"The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one."
Wow.
He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm achieved salvation.
Wow.
And this begins a prophecy about Jesus.
All right.
And ends this chapter saying the Redeemer will come. But doesn't this sound like our world?
Yes.
Darkness, truth not being able to enter. What news outlet do I follow? Which post is right? Which religion leads to God? What church is biblical? What is right? What is good?
Right.
What is wrong? What will work and what won't work for a fulfilling life? What will make me happy? You have your truth and I will have mine, even if they're conflicted. Our world is lost and dark and confused. Walking in darkness, looking for light. The blind leading the blind. Right? And we want things to be right, but when someone calls out sin, they are shunned for it.
Right.
They become a prey. Truth is unwelcomed and nowhere to be found. Yet it's what the world is looking for and what it needs.
Yeah.
It is looking for Jesus.
All right.
Jesus came, like God talked about in Isaiah 59. Jesus came and Jesus was all about truth. I can read so many verses, but I'll just read two here. John 1, verse 14, at the beginning of the gospel, in the beginning of Jesus' ministry, it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And then later in John chapter 18, as Jesus is under trial, right before he's crucified, he's going back and forth with Pilate. And so Pilate says, "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. Here's the thing. If you want to know the truth, you have to know Jesus.
Amen.
True.
All on the side of truth listen to him.
That's right.
Jesus came full of the truth.
Wow.
Jesus came to tell the truth.
Yeah.
And here's what I love about Jesus and about Christianity is it's real. Mm. But along with that, what you've got to realize is that Jesus is both radically inclusive. He wants everyone.
Right.
He loves everyone. He died for everyone. He calls everyone. No exceptions. Jesus is radically inclusive. But Jesus is also radically exclusive.
Wow. Yeah.
Right? He said in John 14, "No one comes to the Father except through me." And so here's your options today is you either believe Jesus is the way and nothing else, or you have to believe something else, but not Jesus.
Wow. Yeah.
And some people want to pick Jesus and lump him in with a bunch of other truths and teachings and religions, but you can't do that. It's something else and not Jesus, or it's Jesus and nothing else.
Come on, bro.
And if you need help believing more in God and in biblical Christianity, then we've got two awesome classes today, the apologetics class and the Jesus is the Savior class. And I would encourage you to go to both of those if you need more help with that.
Yeah.
But in a world of darkness, deceit, disillusionment, division, false dichotomies and double standards, how do we know what is true? We look to Jesus.
Amen.
We need to listen to Jesus. We filter what we hear, what we think, what we see through God's Word.
Yep.
Because there's a million voices, a million ideas, people, podcasts, pages to listen to. But everyone on the side of truth listens to Jesus.
Wow.
You know, I grew up in the Christian faith, but I didn't really know the truth from God's Word. It was kind of just ideas and teachings and traditions I picked up as I went through my childhood. I didn't really study the Bible and look at Jesus to see what was true. And so I based whether something was sin or not on my feelings about it, my own reasoning or opinion with it. Well, I didn't feel that wrong, so it's probably not.
Wow.
Right? Or I would make something make sense to me and then think it's okay.
Right.
I thought that you went to heaven as long as you believed in God. You believe in God? Okay, you're going to heaven. All the other differences were over things that didn't really matter. Just some are more strict than others, and it's just different ideas and stuff like that. I thought Jesus was okay with the way I was living because he loved me no matter what, and I prayed for him to forgive me once in a while. And I thought that people who took their sin and their Christianity much more seriously were just like super Christians.
Right?
Right? That's like super Christians, I'm just regular Christian. And really, what happened was I had learned a self-taught version of Christianity that was true to me, but not true to Jesus.
Right.
And when I was 19, as a sophomore in college, I was asked to study the Bible by one of my best friends. And for the first time, I saw the truth about myself, about the world, and about Jesus, not according to me, but according to God, according to his word. And those areas that I didn't think were sin in my life, I saw clear as day right there were actually separating me from God. I saw that being a disciple of Jesus, somebody who wakes up and denies themselves to follow him every day, that it being a disciple and being a Christian were the same thing. And so if I was not one, I was not the other.
Wow.
And so as much as I wanted to be a Christian, I had to be honest and say, well, I'm not a disciple. So according to God, not me, I'm not a Christian.
Wow.
I saw the cross. What my sin did to Jesus, what he did to me, did for me, clearly for the first time. Not as a free pass for sin, but as an appeal of God's love for me to love him back and to follow him no matter what.
Yeah.
I heard Acts chapter 2, God's plan for salvation. Because you could go to Google, you could go to a lot of Christians, a lot of churches, and ask, well, how should I be saved? And get a lot of different answers.
Right.
How about you ask God? Go to Acts chapter 2. You don't have to turn there. I'm just saying, go there if you want to later. So I heard Acts chapter 2 for the first time that you must repent, which means to actually change, be different internally and externally, that you must repent and be baptized to be forgiven of your sin. And I sat there looking at it and went, I've never repented or been biblically baptized. So I realized that I was not right with God according, again, not to my feelings, not to my experiences, but according to the truth. So I had daily Bible studies, and 7 days later, I was baptized into Christ in the Charles River. And so that will be 14 years ago this December. And I've honestly never regretted it once. Has it been easy? No. But I've lived with the confidence that I have the truth, I have Jesus, I'm going to heaven. And I know that many of you made that decision, and I know that some of you still need to. In John chapter 8, verse 31, is another powerful passage where Jesus talks about truth.
All right.
John 8, 31.
Wow.
It says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Wow.
You know, this quote ends up a lot of places, and I always make sure to tell my kids, you know who said that first? It's Jesus.
Yeah,
I just use that out of context a lot, but it's always true. But you got to go to Jesus to get that truth.
Right. Yep.
Believing is a start. To the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, believing is a start. But to truly be a disciple of Jesus, we must actually hold to his teaching.
Yeah.
Which means to follow it, to obey it, to keep it, to not stray from it.
Yeah.
From Jesus' teachings, from the truth. And then if we hold to Jesus' teachings, it says, then we will know the truth.
Yeah.
Sometimes we want to, hey, I want to know the truth and then I'll follow it. Jesus says, no, you've got to follow it, then you'll know it.
Amen.
Then when we know the truth, then we will be set free.
Amen.
Here's the thing we saw with Pilate, and we'll see with the people Jesus was talking to here. The challenge with the truth is you have to be willing to accept it.
Yeah.
Right? You can hear it, but be not willing to accept it. He keeps going in verse 33. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we will be set free? Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed.
Amen.
I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. Truth cannot enter.
Wow.
I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Mm-hmm. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, Jesus said, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Well, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Unsurprisingly, they call him demon-possessed and try to stone him. They were unable to hear the truth. Right? They argued a lot of different things. How can we be set free? We've always been God's people. We're not illegitimate, we're legit. Right? Maybe some of you in this room are studying the Bible right now. And you've seen things in your life, in your beliefs, in your faith background that are different from what you're seeing in the Bible.
Come on, Rob.
And maybe you're responding like them. I've always believed in God. I was born a Christian. My family is Christian. Are you saying you have to be perfect? How can you say I need to be baptized or repent to be saved? All of these defensive questions instead of accepting the truth and being set free. Yes, it is hard, but yes, it is right. Here's the thing is everyone says, you raise your hand, everyone says they want the truth, but few can hear it.
Right.
No one likes to be lied to, but few are willing not to lie to themselves.
Wow.
We have to be willing to accept the truth if we want to be set free.
Amen.
Their God was proven in this passage. Their God was their traditions, their family, their heritage, their beliefs, their truth. Theirs, but not God's. And so if you are not willing to submit something in your life or beliefs to God's word, then Jesus is not your Lord. He is a king, but not yours. Because everyone on the side of truth listens to him. And so I want to encourage you, listen to Jesus. Even if it's hard, work through that. It was hard for me too, but you got to work through that because the truth is worth it. Being set free is worth it. Let Jesus tell you what's true. Let Jesus tell you what is right and wrong in the world. Let Jesus tell you what is sin and what's not. Let Jesus tell you what a Christian is. Let Jesus tell you how to be saved, how to live. Jesus will never lie to you, and he always knows what's best for you. He loves you more than anyone else or anything else ever will, does, or can. And so hold to his teachings, because then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. And I know there are many in this room who have already accepted, right, and acted on God's word as truth. And I want to say I am inspired by you, because the Bible says that there are only a few people willing to do that. And you can be proud, not of yourself, but in your convictions and in your faith to say, you know what? I am on the narrow road. I found Jesus. Yeah. I found the truth. You can be secure knowing that you have the truth of God's word and Jesus in your life. And I love that as we follow Jesus, we get to bring truth and life and justice and righteousness to the world around us that needs us. But this morning, are you still holding to Jesus' teachings?
John 1 verse 14 tells us, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth."
That's right.
Jesus is God's Word lived out in the flesh. Jesus came full of grace and truth. So that means the Bible is full of grace and truth.
Right.
If we want to know what truth is, we have to know our Bible. I grew up as a preacher's kid, so I thought I knew God really, really well, but I really didn't. And when I was a teenager, I was diagnosed with severe depression and anxiety. I felt worthless and hopeless. I didn't want to live anymore, and I had to be hospitalized multiple times due to self-harm. I started to look for love and fulfillment through impurity. I'd always felt so insecure, and impurity made me feel more insecure. So I developed eating issues. At this point, I was very outwardly anti-Christian. I was consumed with myself and divulged into anything I thought would fulfill me. I even actively persecuted my friends who were churchgoers. But eventually I realized this path isn't working for me anymore, so I tried to do the opposite. I tried to clean up my act. I began working hard in school, got a job, trying to take care of myself, doing all the right things. But my depression just got worse because all the things I was using to fill the void inside of me were gone. So I was just haunted by the thought, is this it?
Wow.
Can this really be all there is to life?
Come on, Chelsea.
I was desperate for truth. And in my desperation, I decided to study the Bible. I read my Bible for hours a day, literally. I found scriptures on depression, scriptures on anxiety, scriptures on sex, scriptures on anything I thought I knew, but come to find as I read the Bible, I really didn't know. But I wanted to know who God was and what God thought. Not the God I heard about from other people, but who is God really from the Bible in his own words. And that was the most liberating and empowering experience of my life.
Wow.
I got to find truth for myself. Yeah. Not from my parents, not from a church leader, not from what men said about me, not from worldly constructs and what they told me, but what does my Creator say to me?
Yeah.
Jesus is the truth that sets me free, free from my sin, free from being captive to a world dominated by sin, and free from Satan's lies.
Amen. Yeah.
This searching for and finding truth, it starts when you study the Bible, but it really continues for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. There have been many times when I've been tempted to go back to my old personal truths, or rely on the opinions of other people or the loudest majority voice, or what feels true instead of going to the Bible for answers, even as a Christian. One of these times was after we got married. I was so happy to finally be married and finally have my life look the way it was. Or then have my dream job and like look the way, you know, I'd always dreamed it would be. But all of a sudden, I was plagued with dark thoughts, and they were tormenting and they were constant. I was having doubts about everything in my life out of nowhere, even though everything was good. Doubts about our relationship, doubts about doctrine, doubts about things I studied out and believed, doubts about myself, and it was debilitating. Yeah. I later found out I had a disorder called OCD. If you want to know more about that, you can talk to me. But this all led me to search hard for scriptures about God's truth.
Yeah.
And even though I found out later I had a disorder that was contributing to all these debilitating dark thoughts, I do not regret how deeply I dove into the scriptures for help, because that was amazing, and I still use all those principles. But I would literally, for my quiet times, I would write down one doubt or one bad thought or one thing I was wrestling with, and then find every scripture I could for that thought until I had pages and pages and pages of notes. And then for my quiet times, I would read those notes over and over again. In the beginning, when I looked at the truth and what the scripture said, it was hard to believe, honestly, because I was so used to these lies in my head, and the dark thoughts and the doubts felt so loud. But through reading these truths and these scriptures every day, over and over again, the lies started to feel smaller, and the truth started to feel bigger and more believable. And John 8 says we are so surrounded by lies that the truth can feel unfamiliar to us.
Right.
We have to train ourselves to be able to differentiate truth from a lie.
Yeah.
It won't come naturally, and it's probably not going to be comfortable, but that's why the truth is something we have to hold to, because it's something we can easily lose our grip on.
Yeah.
And I love this passage in John 8. It says there are a few things Jesus is saying to these religious people who could not accept his truth. One of the things he says is that they had no room for his word.
Wow.
Another thing it says is they were getting all their security from their earthly status. They were literally name-dropping Abraham. And they were not holding to the truth or living according to the truth. But you know, I can so easily fall into these same patterns. I have to ask myself, are my opinions on something so large that there's no room for the word of God?
Wow.
Am I buying in more to what the world says is true about me, or what God says is true about me? Are there aspects of Jesus' truth that I'm choosing not to hold to? As a disciple, every day I need to continue to make room for God's word in my schedule, in my mind, and in my heart. And in order to hold to Jesus' teachings, I need to know his teachings, right? And the only way to do this is to know my Bible. And the only way to do that is to read my Bible a lot, right? Mari did a great job giving practicals on this last night of ways we can connect with God. And what she said about getting physically ready for the retreat before spiritually ready was wild. But it's important that we not only turn to the Bible when we're trying to work through challenging things emotionally or challenging things in life, but that we also go to the Bible to learn how to think spiritually.
Yeah.
We need to know what the Bible teaches about controversial topics, what it teaches about topics we feel passionate about, what it teaches about topics we feel like we already know about. If not, we could be believing and living according to our own versions of Jesus' truth instead of the actual truth. And I am not a Swiftie, but I did think it was really cool when she started re-putting out her songs with the logo of Taylor's version, because it was all about like her claiming her own songs back and her putting her authenticity into it. And I was like, you go, girl. You get those songs. You play those songs. You put your name on those songs. I love that. But we love authenticity, you know? And I think when God look at my Christianity and label it discipleship, Chelsea's version, or would he label it Christian, Jesus' version?
Wow.
Jesus' truth really does lead to freedom. There's no area of my life in which Jesus is not the answer to. Where do I go when I continually battle mental health challenges? I do take medication, and I do believe in therapy, and have done therapy, but also Jesus is the truth. Yeah. Nothing has given me more purpose and promise than the Word of God. What am I going to believe about sexual ethics and sexuality when the world's agenda is so loud? Yeah. Jesus is the truth. Jesus has answers, and his answers are always right. Where can I go to find healing and peace from various forms of trauma? Jesus is the truth. What stance am I going to take on a polarizing political issue? Jesus is truth. Who is the best example on what a true Christian looks like? Jesus is the truth. So I will choose to hold to Jesus' teachings and live according to his truth. The Jesus version.
Yes. You know, if there is some truth from Jesus' word tonight that, or word this today that you're wrestling with, I do hope you know that Jesus is dependable. Yeah. That he is right, that he is certain, that he knows you, he loves you, he died for you, so as hard as it is, you can trust him and you can live for him. And so let's decide this morning to be men and women who are on the side of truth and hold to Jesus' teachings. So when he looks at the world, he sees you and says, they really are my disciples. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And this time we're going to have John Oladosu from the New York City campus. And he is going to share his story of making Jesus his Lord.